Steve, thanks. Hi, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and welcome to the show. You already know the number, but I'll give it to you just in case you forgot it. It's 312-981-7200. You know what? Now, as I say this, I don't want you to think I'm making fun of you, because I'm not.
This would be the first time.
Oh, I've done it many times.
That's
before.
What I mean. This is the first time you wouldn't be making fun of
this
me.
This time I will not be. It's just something I've noticed. You're having an honor thrown your way tomorrow, and for a lot of people, that would be a joyous occasion.
Shut up.
Somebody from my past has recognized my success, and they're paying tribute to me. So for most of us, that would be, oh, I can't wait till tomorrow. But you've decided to go the exact opposite direction, haven't you?
Is it because you don't fit in the graduation gown?
Oh, they made those very... Anyone could... I think it was one size fits all, if you want to know the truth. Because there were little kids that it looked like giant on. They looked like they borrowed David Byrne from the Talking Heads graduation gown.
Right.
My high school, Riverside Brookfield High School, RBHS, were the best. Is honoring me with their Alumni Achievement Award.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I am very excited about it, but
You're one of five, correct, tomorrow?
I believe so. I don't know the whole rundown, and I feel bad that I can't give other people props, but really it's all about me.
The little people, you don't remember their names?
I wasn't privy to that information.
Right.
But I'm very excited. This is really an honor for me.
Sure.
I loved high school.
Yep.
I totally loved it. It took them a while. I graduated in 81, but...
Oh, it did take them a while.
I know.
All right. Well, but they finally saw the error of their ways, and tomorrow they will pay tribute to you and four people who don't matter.
Actually, it's tonight.
Tonight.
So that's really exciting. And then tomorrow I need to speak to the classes.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's a long day.
What are you going to tell them?
Well, a lot of people work up to 8 hours a day, Wendy, so you can handle it.
Yeah, but it's exactly during the show hours, and I do not like to miss this show.
Right.
So I was in a quandary.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to do it, so you will hold down the fort tomorrow.
What are you going to tell the kids?
Not really sure. I have to speak to second period, the Clarion newspaper.
Oh. Known for its hard-hitting journalistic questions.
And its call.
That's right.
I am curious to see a copy of the Clarion, because when I was there, there wasn't much to report, really.
Yeah. Well,
and I want to see how journalistic this Clarion is now.
I bet with the advent of the news on cable and satellite, I bet they're better.
So that's period two.
Right. And so then, you have to speak?
You have to be interviewed for an hour, I guess. I'm hoping, it's not just me, and it's all the other people. I don't know if we are all doing the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know anything. I was just notified of this yesterday at 3:30.
But I've watched you all week long just tear your hair out over this. You're very nervous about it. I don't know if you're nervous.
I am. Can I tell you, I don't like to be interviewed. I'd rather do the interviewing.
Oh.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with you not wanting to miss the show. You just don't like being focus of attention.
I don't
like
pulling a fast one on Bill and saying today, by the way, I need tomorrow off. I know, but I just I have a good work ethic here only.
Yeah.
Then I have to speak to period three.
Which, if you think period two is tough, wait till you meet the guys over at period three.
It's like 50% more.
It is. They have an attitude about them. They'll just ask you anything.
Then there's an hour and 10-minute break, which I was told I could eat in the faculty lounge, but to bring cash. I can purchase food there, yeah.
Wait, they're not going to give you a sandwich
no.
after all this?
Well, when you go in your robe, I'm sure they will.
I'm not wearing a robe.
Come on.
You should.
And then after the break, I am interviewed with the television department, RBTV.
Oh.
I think that goes live.
Oh.
Where, I don't know, within the hallways of RB High School.
We can't get that on our local cable providers?
I think some people can.
All right, because I'd like to see it.
No, I don't like being on TV either.
Who's the host of that show, do you know?
I don't know. The director's Gary Prokes, who went to that high school. He's a great guy. I just, I am nervous. I just, you get an award, it's a huge honor. I just wish they'd mail you your award. I don't need a dinner.
They have to recognition. No.
And the thing is, being interviewed by high school journalists, they could ask you anything.
Yes.
I mean, out of the embarrassing things you never considered
They don't
before.
Know the guidelines, Wendy. They don't know what's right and what's wrong
That's
yet.
Why they're in school. They're learning those.
Thanks, guys. Making this easier.
What's the worst case scenario? What could they possibly ask or say to you that would be awful? You're fine.
I just don't like talking about me.
Yeah.
I'll deflect everything and answer as I was you. Say, well, what my partner Bill would say.
Yeah, do that. That's fine.
All right, now I'm ready to roll.
You're all right now.
And the little high schooler says, oh, so you have a partner.
Right.
A work partner.
Yeah.
He's not a work husband. And I hate when people say work wife and work husband. So when you get a job after high school, don't ever use that term.
Tell them that tomorrow.
I hate that term.
But that's the kind of things you should say. Is here's what's going to happen down the line should you choose a line of work like I have. So don't do this or do more of that. That's good. That would help them. I'd also have a song prepared. I would sing something that the kids like.
I know
Do you know any Taylor Swift songs? Just have one ready, just in case.
You know they're all going to be on their phones when I'm talking.
Oh, the students, the teachers,
everybody. They're going to be videoing it for incriminating video that they can post.
Right. You're going to be on YouTube within minutes of your speech.
I hadn't thought of that. That's so going to be on YouTube. The Snapchat.
Yeah.
The Instagram.
But don't be nervous. I can see how nervous you're getting. There's no reason to be nervous. This is good.
All right.
It is.
You're going to finish this and have loved it.
I know I will. You know me, right. I have anticipatory anxiety.
I know.
And then after the wave of the social media posts come through, then you'll regret it. But for a while, you're going to love it.
What do you get? Like, do they give you a plaque, a trophy, a statue? What do you get out of this at the end? What do they hand you?
I think I get a medal or something.
Oh,
and
a
then
medal?
I get my face in bronze on the high school wall.
What?
Yeah, I'm on their wall of fame. That's what they're going
to
be doing.
You have to dip your face for the mold?
No.
How do they do it?
They take a picture and they, you know, make a plaque that's metal-y.
And it'll be your face?
Well, no, it'll be my armpit. What? Of course.
I didn't know they did that. That's pretty cool.
They have Wall of Fames in all the high schools.
So you're getting your hair done today?
No.
Oh.
I didn't plan ahead.
You don't have to. You're fine.
No, that's fine. It's
good.
What am I, 80?
Like it looks good.
Honey, I need a cut and curl.
And then while you're in the hair dryer, they could do the cast of your face in there.
That's
great.
Exciting, a cast of your face. That's pretty cool.
No.
That's primitive.
It's a picture.
I've never had
just...
that. Steve, have you ever had a cast of your face?
I've never had
Ted,
a face
are you going to pile on as well?
Well, I'm not so sure I was going to pile on, but I got a feeling you're going to be asking the staff a lot of questions at lunch when you're in the faculty lounge.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm going to do? What? I'm going to go in the bathrooms and bust all the kids smoking. That's what I'm going to do during that hour break.
That's a good idea.
Wouldn't that be fun?
And
yeah.
Here's what I would do. I'm sorry.
Right, and then go to the lounge and smoke yourself.
Yeah, I wonder if they can smoke in the faculty lounge. I would doubt it.
Pack pudding cups in your lunch because they're great to trade.
Ted, thank you very much. Really, I should just walk in the bathroom and go, it's cool, like we used to do when we were in high school, so then it wasn't the dean of girls walking in.
You'll relive a memory. If you go to your locker, will you remember your locker combination?
Can I tell you, I have three girlfriends that graduated with me who are attending tonight, Marianne, Gail, and Sue. And Marianne remembers her locker and her combination. I shouldn't give this away, but she wants to go in and decorate it so the kid tomorrow will come in and go, what is this? Mm. And she was going to leave a little note.
Yeah.
And then I said, you may not want to do that because somebody doesn't want somebody rifling through their stuff.
Yeah, they take your face off the wall for that.
Immediately.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, association.
My locker, by the way, 14385.
Everyone knew you knew that.
Is that why you brought it up?
I mean, it's just one of those things Bill would know.
I don't know why it stayed with me, because I'll probably never need it again, probably. Unless I have to dash there before a chemistry quiz or something. But it's 14385. I have no idea why it stuck with me, because I haven't used it in years and years.
I want to say mine was 2117.
You
was in the typing hall.
No, you had to have more. You had
it's at least three.
I had one locker, guys.
No, but the combination wouldn't just be two numbers. It's
I remember
three.
The actual locker number.
Oh.
Oh, I don't remember the combination. What is your combination?
14385.
If you only knew the locker number.
No, I don't know the number, but I know exactly where it is. It's,
so if you walked back into your high school, which
I
was?
I could get in there. Oak Forest High School. If you're seven doors left of Mr. Moore's class at Oak Forest High School, 14385 will get you into that locker.
Bill has his picture on the wall at the school, too, but for different reasons.
Right. A front and side shot of me.
Don't let this kid back in the school.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then there's more to discuss. So stay here. It's Bill Effen. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Wendy will not be here tomorrow. She's having a huge honor thrown her way, but she's a little bit apprehensive speaking at her school where her face will be on the face of fame.
The Wall of Fame.
The Wall of Fame.
We got to get Oak Forest High School. They need to put you up there.
That's debatable.
Nick DiGilio was put on in his
was
high school
Was he put on his?
Wall.
Yeah.
What about you, Bertrand?
I am in the Mantino High School Sports Hall of Fame.
That's not bad. That's
well,
not bad at all.
It's totally undeserved, too. I was like the 15th member of a six-member cross-country team that went to state.
Under, that still counts.
Under Coach Kenny Clipp.
Wendy, here's a fun text. You can text us at 312-981-7200. Wendy, if you make your way into the bathroom there at your high school, you can finally take your name off the wall, it says. You know I didn't text that in because I don't know how to text and talk at the same time.
By the way, Nick DiGilio was put on Luther North's Wall of Fame a few years ago.
Deserved.
Also, Bill mentioned that he knows his locker combination.
14-38-5.
You are like the Rain Man, I swear to God. 630 says, I'm 64 years old and still remember my gym and my hall locker combinations, 21-23-30 and 29-0-17. Too silly, I can't remember anything that I'm supposed to, but I remember those.
I don't know why those would stick with you. Maybe it's just the repetition of having to need it every day for 4 years in a row. It just sticks in your head.
That could do it.
Hi.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. You know, I'm the lady you suggested you buy, get beef jerky roses for your kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were all sold out. Otherwise, I would have.
I know all these teachers are going to be really nice, but I'm very surprised you didn't tell people you were going to be on the same wall as David Hasselhoff.
Now, wait a minute. David Hasselhoff is on the Wall of Fame at LT High School, Lyons
yes,
Township.
And this
I'm
is
at
RB.
RB, Riverside Brookfield.
No, he went to LT. He's going to be on the same wall as you, woman.
I went to RB, so I'm going to be on RB's wall. We were rivals.
Oh, I thought you went to LT.
No, me and Hasselhoff were, me and the Hoff were rivals.
You guys were rivals?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. But close.
Well, Jane, thank you very much, and thanks for mentioning David Hasselhoff.
You're welcome.
He's happy about that, too.
So if an honor is good enough for him, it's good enough for you, in my book, anyway. Stop being nervous. This is an honor.
It is a total honor, and you're making...
I'm not trying to.
You're slighting it.
I'm not.
Hi, Diane.
Wendy, stop being nervous. Really.
Exactly.
You're going to have the best time tomorrow. The kids will be prepared. They'll have questions for you. Yes, some of them will be on their phones, so don't let it drive you. call them out on that, though. The teachers are great. I taught there for 20 years. Gary Prokes should buy you lunch.
Yeah,
I should bring that up.
You should insist
on that.
Do
they still give the honorees a tiara? Will she have a tiara?
No, I don't get a tiara.
Well, you never know. If you have lunch there, honest, it's a great lunch. They have a great chef there. It's the best $5 lunch you'll ever have.
All right, I'm staying in the faculty lounge.
Yes, and nobody smokes in the bathrooms anymore. They stopped doing that a long time ago. Not even the kids.
They e-smoke.
True.
Well, Diane, you taught there for 20 years?
I did. This is my second year of retirement.
Do you miss it?
Yes. I miss RB. I go back quite a bit.
Diane, you've been to these ceremonies in the past. Has there ever been a question that has just totally just stumped the person that is asked the question? That's what Wendy's nervous about. No. They're all nice kids.
No, they really are. They're very polite and they're very engaged. They
Wendy's
really
picturing
are.
A Sean Spicer-like press conference. It's not going to be like that.
You might get that in the faculty lounge, you know?
But, maybe.
But not from the kids.
Well, at least I'm doing the journalism department, so that will be easy for me.
Right.
The newspaper.
The Clarion, you can find the Clarion online, and their slogan is something like,
we grill the people we talk to.
Full of bulldogs or something. It's very cute. And RBTV's online. In fact, we have a big telethon every year that I just happened to direct last year.
Oh, Wendy would be a good host for that.
I was on it 1 year. They never asked me back.
Well, you know what? You're probably going to get an invitation this year, so stay tuned.
Right. Well, thank you, Diane. I'm really looking forward to it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You should. You're going to have a great day. Congratulations.
Thank you. You're amazing.
That was so nice. You know what you should do to assure success is bring a box of those Payback as a Wendy t-shirts and give them to the kids that are most deserving.
Right.
Just think about doing that.
You are bringing, do you ruin everything?
Well, you are bringing gifts, though, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to bring
gifts. Well, that's what somebody just texted, that I'm a teacher, as a former high school teacher who had many guest speakers for my sports marketing classes. If you can bring some swag items from WGN, that would be great. Also, kids love stories, so the more stories you can tell them, the more they'll pay attention.
That's true. Well, that's obviously true.
Where do I get the swag? Do we have swag? I need a swag bag. I need 500 swag bags. Stat.
Quickly. That shouldn't be a problem. All right. More to come right after the news. Stick around. Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. And to answer your questions, yes, Telly Savalas' daughter will be with us later on in the show. Please be patient.
With a ukulele.
Yeah, we said, they called us and said, do you want Telly Savalas' daughter on the show? And we both went, yeah, don't even ask.
I know.
Of course we do. But we insist that she bring a ukulele. And they're like,
does she know how to play it?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Pretty exciting.
That happens at 11:05. Are you experiencing a problem with cicadas? Do you have an extra amount of cicadas at your home?
I'll tell you this, Bill. It's funny you mention that. I'm not seeing them, excuse me, but I'm hearing them. The only one I saw was after Tiki lifted his leg on a tree right on top of one.
Oh, that's interesting.
You're right. Seeing a lot of them?
Well, not just seeing, but here's what's been going on. Over the past week or so, not just seeing, but we're having the trim on our house painted. We're having all the windows and the doors done. So I think there's something in the paint that's attracting them because at night now, on some of the windows that have been freshly painted in the door, they're like collecting, right? Not just one or two.
Are they stuck? Did they fly up there?
I don't think they're stuck because we have lights nearby our front door and our back door. So you see them like attracted to the light and they make that horrible, horrible crunchy sound when they bang off the glass around the light.
That is the worst sound.
Yeah, it's very disconcerting.
Oh.
And did you ever see, there's a Stephen King movie called The Mist, which has to do, not the TV version that was just on, but in the movie, they open up some weird doorway to another dimension and these bugs come from like prehistoric times. And that's what it's become like because they're really big and they bang into stuff. And all right, so last night I played tennis at night and then on my way home, the light was on, and I noticed them kind of swarming around the light, but I didn't notice the door until I put the key in, and I saw that there were about 8 or 9 of them on the door.
Oh.
So then I had to do this weird...
Scream?
No, I didn't scream, but I was being very careful because I had a bag of tennis gear, and I'm trying to open the door and not let any of them in, which I did, I thought, very successfully. So then I get in, and I'm putting everything away, and I'm saying hello to my family, and I feel something on my back, and I can't figure out what it is. And I'm like, I go to itch it, and it's a cicada because it starts making that weird kind of that like that in my shirt. And I don't like cicadas in my shirt. Wendy, I've told you that a million times. I hate when cicadas get in my shirt.
Plus, they're so big.
Gigantic.
It's like
the size of a wren. Have you ever had a wren in your shirt? You don't have to answer that without an attorney. So,
but they're bit. You know, if you get a fly or a mosquito, that's still gross,
right?
But a cicada is.
I would say
a couple inches.
Yeah, 2 or 3 inches, right? And with the wingspan, and then it's got that kind of exoskeleton shell.
Yeah.
All right, so it's in my shirt, and I'm screaming. Then I'm like a little girl, just and I'm trying to get it out of my back. And I'm trying to get part of my shirt up and make.
Is anybody
it come
helping
out.
You?
No, my family just heard screaming, so they did what they've been trained to do, which is lock the door of the room they're in, because they don't know what's coming. So then I finally get it out of my shirt, and it's flying wildly around my hallway, just like it's doing the same maneuver back and forth, like it bounces off of one wall and then goes to the other, and it bounces off of that, and then the light's in the center.
They're terrible flyers.
Oh, they're awful. I don't know who put together the flight plan, but it was counterproductive to whatever it was trying to achieve. So then I, quickly thinking, Wendy, I say to myself, there are 2 tennis rackets within arm's length of me, so I go for the tennis racket, and I take one swing, and I just miss the light fixture by like a third of an inch, which would not have sat well with my wife. And I'm trying to swing at it, and it's bouncing all around. So then Reese comes out of the room and she goes, Daddy, please don't kill it. And I go, no, I'm going to kill. I have to kill it. I don't want this thing. And she goes, honestly, don't kill it. Let's be more humane.
She is so sweet.
She really is. Like, all my thought was is I can't live in a house where this thing could be anywhere. So
and it's a bug. I'm sorry. I know that's bad
right.
to entomologists out there, but
right.
is that what a bug guy is?
Yeah, an entomologist. I know that because of Harvey Klinger on the Brady Bunch.
That's right.
He liked bugs.
But, I mean, I understand what Reese is saying. Like, a mouse, seriously,
right.
if you have one, yeah, let's try and get it outside, right. help it. But insects don't count.
I'm torn there because I myself, there have been times where I have caught a spider or something and I've said to myself, yeah, I could crush this easily. I could take a paper towel and end it. But this spider is somebody's mom or somebody's friend. I don't want to do that. So I'll open up the window and I'll throw it three floors to its death. So she said, please don't kill it. Let me catch it and put it outside. And I said, Reese, there's no way in the world you can catch it. And she goes, no, it's not. It won't be hard. So she goes to the kitchen and she gets this little Tupperware jar. And I laugh at her and I go, Reese, there's no way in the world. And within 20 seconds, she trapped it in the jar and put it outside.
Set it free, little cicada.
Yeah.
She's such a good girl.
I couldn't have done that.
Well, this isn't the big year because, you know, there's the 17-year periodical cicadas. They were last here in the spring of 2007. They'll next return in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that when the next eclipse is? So we're going to have cicadas in a full totality.
Think of the noise.
Right. There's going to have to be special glasses and earplugs at the same exact time.
That was one of my favorite summers of my life, and I was an adult. But when the cicadas were here...
Why did you like that?
Oh, it was just awesome. They were oozing out of our backyard. You could see them almost like oozing out of the yard.
And that pleased you?
It just was remarkable. We had, you know, bushes covered where you couldn't see the leaves filled with cicadas.
The year that they had them when we were... So I think we would have been about 10 or 11... I'm trying to remember the exact year it was. All I remember is in Little League, we had two different games that were almost called off because there were so many cicadas in the outfield that nobody wanted to play the outfield.
I know. I remember riding my bike and you'd get hit in the face with
yeah.
them and they hurt.
Yeah.
They'd get in your spokes. Honestly, it was like a movie, like you were riding your bike through.
Like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's 13-year locusts, too.
I don't know what the gestation period is. I just know when one is like climbing up your back or swimming around in your hallway, all you want to do is destroy it. And I know that's inhumane, and I apologize for that. But at that point, it's a game of survival. Only one person can live in my house, me or the cicada.
Bill, I honestly feel very sorry for you because it's bad enough seeing them and to try and walk through them, but to get one in your clothing and on your person... That's horrible. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you? I'm totally with Bill for getting rid of these cicadas. Actually, on planet Earth, they did a little thing on these, and they pronounce them cicada.
They do? Not cicada? We've all said it wrong, then.
I thought you said frittata.
cicada. But last night, I'm sitting in the living room. It's 9 o'clock at night, and oh, my God, the noise, and then... They were, like, pounding the window, just flying up against it. I thought they were going to break through. I was scared.
Why are there so many right now? It doesn't hit one of those cycles that we just described.
There always are some. It's
not like this.
The 17-year, we're going to be inundated. And that's happening May of 2024, so be prepared. Get a suit of armor or something to walk around in. Oh, they're gross.
Well, on this Planet Earth special, when that the ground, everything was just covered with them. I couldn't imagine being there trying to film all this.
Awful. And again, Chris, we're supposed to pronounce it how?
Cicada.
Cicada.
Not a long A, cicada.
Okay.
Short A.
With an R in it? Cicada?
No.
Cicada.
Cicada was one of the Knights of the Round Table.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Chris. Can we do? Can we continue our cicada talk or cicada talk?
Yes.
Wasn't it John Cicada?
Yeah. I hope we're saying his name right. All right. Let's take a break and then more of your calls and thoughts on this. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Ugh.
Well, I say cicada, but you say cicada. Cicada, cicada. Let's call the whole thing off. I was attacked by one last night so large that I actually got its license plate number. Why are there so many of them, and what can we do as earthlings to destroy them?
Well, Elizabeth claims we shouldn't destroy them. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Here's a segment for you next week, cicada frittatas.
Tasty.
Yummy.
Why wouldn't we want to destroy them? They're prehistoric and hideous.
Well, I don't. You guys are obviously from the city, and
yes.
I'm not, okay? I don't know much about cicadas, but I'm sure they serve a purpose or they wouldn't be here, like spiders. Put them outside because they eat other bugs.
Right.
You know, they're here for a reason. I mean, if we start killing something, we don't know the effect that it's going to have on whatever eats it.
So, that's true. Okay. I'm sure birds eat this. I know dogs eat these.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point, Elizabeth.
All right. Well, last night we did not kill it.
I don't think dogs are supposed to eat bees, but...
No, I don't think so. All right. I'll stop killing them.
Can I tell you, there was a spider in our house last night, and Dylan said, what are you going to do about it? And I said, I'm going to leave it there. It was way up on the ceiling. And he goes, I can't sleep knowing it's here. And I go, they eat mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just left it alone, and I don't know where it is right now.
Yeah, and you feel good about that?
No, I don't anymore. Rob wants to jump in and do cicada talk. Hi, cicada. Hi, Rob.
You know, guys, if you take about 50 or 60 of them, put them in tinfoil. Make a little bag of tinfoil, put a little bit of olive oil in there and some hot sauce. You put them on the barbecue, and they don't taste too bad.
Here's what I was thinking as this thing was climbing up my back.
I'm being totally honest here.
No, I know it. But as it was climbing up my back, I was remembering how every time it's one of the cycle years where there's a lot of them, you can't turn on a morning television show without somebody with a cicada recipe, saying you can dry roast them, you can put a little lime juice on them. They'll be delicious. But why would
here's another problem we have on my back porch. I live in Oak Brook.
Yeah.
We have a new invasive bug which came from Mexico, and if you kill them, it smells like a mint. The little tiny brown things, and I literally have right now. I'm looking at 30 or 40 of them that are trying to get into my home.
They smell like a mint,
lifesaver.
Exactly. If you squish it. You'll have mint on your hands.
Did you have them?
Mexico, that's where they came from, Mexico.
Yeah, did you?
Mexico.
Go ahead, just go, Steve.
And they sell them.
What's your question,
Steve?
Were
they around before NAFTA, or is this a NAFTA thing?
You guys are the best. I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
There's so many worse aromas. Like, mint isn't bad.
I'd kill them like crazy.
I know.
Freshen up your house? It's like an instant nature's air freshener.
Yes, it is.
I ate a cicada.
You did? Why?
Because we were at the Loop Radio station,
right?
And there was a big, I think, I don't remember the year, but it was when the 17-year locust happened, and there was a big cicada fest.
Yeah.
And there were some kind of grilled or something.
And it was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because I knew what it was.
Yeah. But even if you didn't know what it was, you wouldn't go, oh, whatever this is, I've got to have more of these. These are delicious.
Well, there's 13 years, there's 17 years. We're due again to have it in late May of 2024, according to an Illinois.edu website. Illinois has a reputation for the largest emergence of cicadas known anywhere.
Excellent, good.
And in 1990, that must have been when the Loop had a big cicada fest.
Probably.
There were reports from people in Chicago having to use snow shovels to clear their sidewalks of the dead cicadas. I remember they were everywhere, but I want to know why they keep surviving. Jim has an answer. Hi, Jim.
Yeah. Well, they're slow and they're dumb. They're easy to catch, but there's so many of them that all the predators' bellies are full, and then they get to mate like crazy because all the predators are full. By the way, Wendy, do you have a cicada impression?
No, I don't.
That's too bad.
Oh, I should work on it. Do you?
No, I have no idea. I believe it's a high-pitched whistle, but I know you do that dolphin.
I have a throat issue right now. I can't do the dolphin, Jim. But I'll work on a cicada for 2024 when they come back.
There you go.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. still kind of dolphiny.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. You were mentioning that some of your Little League games were canceled due to the large amount of cicadas.
They were canceled, but nobody wanted to play the outfield.
Oh, that's right.
No kid would. All of our regular outfielders were like, I'm not going to go out there. I'll get eaten by bugs.
And riding my bike, I swear to you guys, I remember this. And I mean, like, if a fly flies into your face, you feel it, and it feels gross.
Right.
But cicadas are, we were figuring it out, you said like a walnut.
About the size of a walnut.
They're definitely better than a peanut. And if you've ever whipped a peanut at someone or had one whipped at you, it doesn't You can totally feel it.
Sure.
Imagine 10 peanuts being whipped at you.
With its wings flapping while it hits you, too.
Oh. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. I just wanted to share with you, back in 1990 with that big outburst of cicadas, I had my first job doing landscaping.
Perfect.
And unfortunately, I was out there with a lawnmower chopping these things up.
Oh, no.
By the billions. Oh. And I can tell you that they're chitin, whatever they're made out of.
Yeah.
When you chop them up, it has a really musty smell that sticks with you. And I got a phobia of bugs to begin with.
So this only made it worse.
You got one bug landing on you. Oh, yeah. I got covered in this stuff.
Oh.
And, had to make it through a whole summer because that was my first job. Ugh. I couldn't quit.
No. That's awful.
Share that with
you. That's terrible.
Well, thank you,
Matthew.
I remember the last time they came through, which I guess was 2007, I think we mentioned. Mm-hmm. We had just planted a new tree in the front yard, mm-hmm. and people had said, I had seen nets around new trees in the village. The village took the time to do it. I didn't do it. And on the bark, there were like just these little divots all up and down all the little branches of the tree, and parts of the tree got killed because of it.
Because of those.
They were all over.
Am I imagining it, though, with the paint? Is there something, is it the aroma of the paint or something about the paint that's attracting them? Because we never used to get them on our front door or near the windows, but all of a sudden they're so attracted to the door. So there must be something in the paint, right?
I don't know if it's paint, but when you mentioned they're attracted to lights, are there lights above these new windows? Because
in the front, it's just to the right of the door and the window, yeah. So and you can see them flying around there now at night. Never used to be able to see that, but I couldn't see them on the door until I was opening the door, and then I noticed there's like 8 or 9 of them crawling around the door.
All right, well, good luck.
Yeah, I know. You want to buy a house?
No.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show, and then Telly Savalas' daughter.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, Ariana Savalas joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Smooth walker, cool talker. Sweaters made of tailored cream. Old schooler, and no one looks cooler in a dad blue pair of jeans. He's a one-man show.
You could listen to this all day, couldn't you?
This is sultry. There, I said it. I'm not afraid to admit it. This is sultry. You know what
Can
I'm talking about.
Can you say sultry on the radio?
We're not supposed to.
Oh,
I'll pay
God.
The fine. I don't care. This is sultry music
I'll
we're listening to.
I'll bail you out, baby.
Ariana Savalas is here. She's going to bail me out of jail pretty soon because I said it's sultry because it is. She's performing at the Arcata Theater, and you didn't even know this was coming up. You knew you'd be performing at the Arcata, but this is a last-minute appearance on our show.
I'm absolutely.
Glad you.
Hence the last-minute appearance. And,
you look pretty good
I have a face for radio
minute.
This morning, so... It's really well. Ron O'Nesty.
It's very nice to be here.
It does a great job running the Arcata Theater. He's got the speakeasy up there. He's just opened something up in Evanston too. That man is magical.
Oh my God! No, magical.
But
Listen.
He didn't tell you you had an interview here till what 8:30 this morning.
I mean, but for Italians, that's basically on time. They're like the Greeks. We're very similar people. Everything's we crave the excitement. So
the style.
Keep me on my toes.
Here's what I love: the style of music that you're singing right there.
Oh,
it's a
thanks.
Throwback.
Yes.
To a time when I don't know everything was just a little bit different. People would go to these clubs mm-hmm. and enjoy the music, and things have changed a little bit. But there's been a resurgence of your type of music, and I'm so glad.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad too. It's good for me for sure. Yeah. It's really wonderful to see. I think that there is a desire for something intimate in this crazy world we're living in. I think that might explain a little bit of the resurgence of this kind of music, because it really was, I mean, cabaret and vaudeville, it was really an intimate experience
Absolutely.
For the audience. I mean, even if you were playing it in a huge club and this and that, I mean, it was something you get up in your audience and you really, you see the beads of sweat on their face. I mean, it is just a different kind of art form, and it's just so lovely to see that people love it as much as I do. God bless.
And it's more than just, no offense to Taylor Swift, but she gets up there and does what she does, but with
and
this
boy,
type of,
does she do it? Mm-hmm.
She does it fantastically.
I mean, mm-hmm.
But this is so different. This combines like a show
And a concert and a little burlesque. It's everything rolled into one.
Well, in St. Charles, he's so much burlesque we really feel like we feel so common around those parts. But
how did you become interested in it? You didn't live through this when this was in its heyday. So what was it?
Thank you for not aging me. I appreciate it.
You don't seem to be in your 70s. Well, I could be reading this wrong.
Put your glasses on.
Why did you gravitate toward this?
You know, I think it had a lot to do with my father. I think it had a lot to do with my father and my grandparents. Obviously, my dad, he was born in 1922. So if he were alive today, he'd be significantly older. I think he'd be 95. And so he grew up during that time, you know, and he grew up, you know, with that era of showmanship and that era of music, and was friends, very good friends with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis. And, you know, so I grew up with him only for 7 short years.
Right. You were 7 when he passed away.
Yeah. And so listening to this kind of music was really a way for me to keep him alive in a lot of ways. And, my grandparents were, you know, my grandma Gloria, may she rest in peace, was an amazing musician, concert pianist, was accepted to Juilliard, left so she could have a family.
Wow.
And my grandpa is a jazzophile, obsessed with Ella Fitzgerald and Peggy Lee. So, you know, they saw me, of course, listening to Britney Spears when I was 10 and slapped me across the face and gave me all of their old records. I remember my grandpa letting me borrow all of his old Sinatra records.
Oh, nice.
This big box. And it was life changing. I mean, I think I was the only 12-year-old at my school that was listening to Sinatra's greatest hits. And it just kind of spawned from there, you know? It just.
Haven't mentioned, your dad is Telly Savalas.
That is correct. Not Yul Brynner.
Not Yul Brynner, but Telly Savalas.
The other one.
And not Professor X from the X-Men.
Definitely
but Telly
not.
Savalas.
No, not Bruce Willis.
No, not Bruce Willis.
He was great in Die Hard, but not my dad.
When you would walk down a street with him, because the world loved your dad.
Yes.
So when you would walk down the street and people would just come out of the woodwork to say hi or tell a story, did you think that this is how life must be?
You know what's funny is that I really didn't know him as a celebrity at all
until
I was older. I really didn't, because when, you know, he passed when I was 7.
Yeah.
And we lived a very... Well, I guess we lived in a hotel at the Sheraton Universal, but I mean, we lived a very normal life, you know, for being Eloise. You know, my life was very away from the celebrity scene, the Hollywood scene. And when he passed away, my mom thought that it was a good idea. And also she wanted to be close to her family in Minnesota. So I actually grew up in the Midwest for 11 years. Yeah, I spent 11 years of my life here. So I lived this life with my papa, which was, you know, 7 years of just knowing him really as papa. I didn't know him as a celebrity. You know, we'd visit movie sets because he was obsessed with us and he'd bring us, you know, my brother went to the White House. He was like the first kid to be invited to some dinner or something because my dad would not go unless he could bring him. So, you know, we were with him, but never really knew him as Telly Savalas. We only knew him as our dad. And then, you know, when he passed away, we lived a very normal life in Minnesota. You know, I grew up 10 years. I went to a Catholic convent school. You know, it was a very different life.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't really until I was a teenager that I even started watching his videos and really seeing, like, you know, holy, you know.
Didn't you love Kojak?
I mean, I love, oh my God, it's just such a good show. Even if he wasn't my dad, it's such a good show.
Your dad,
man.
And your uncle, Ron.
And my
Kojak.
Uncle, yeah. And he's so funny.
Yeah.
George is really funny in that show.
Yeah.
Like, I never really realized, because I was always terrified of him when I was a kid, I guess. Like, I'd cry every time he walked into a room. Terrified.
Really?
Probably because we had the same hair, so I was afraid I was going to look like him when I grew up. But, like, I was terrified of him. I couldn't stand him, apparently. And then, you know, I'm watching him in Kojak. He's so funny. He's so loud. Our whole family's so loud.
I believe
And not just Kojak, but he's Ernst Blofeld in James Bond.
That's true. In the greatest James Bond.
In the greatest James Bond of all time. I mean,
George Lazenby was...
I know. No, that's not a bad movie. That's a really good movie. You don't think? No?
People make fun of George Lazenby, but...
You know what? I appreciated the movie. I thought it was fun.
Did you ever see your dad in a movie called Capricorn 1?
Yes.
Where he's a pilot?
Oh my God, it's one of my... That movie, that actually is a really funny story, because I love that movie. First, it's one of my favorite movies. He doesn't even show up until the end of the movie.
Right.
Like, O.J. Simpson's in that movie.
Everybody's
and like Sam
movie.
Watterson, like my favorite actor from Law and Order.
James Brolin is
in
that movie.
Oh my God, it's such a great movie. It's so random. But my mom... So my mom was a lot younger than my dad.
Yeah.
You know, they had a 30...
35 year age difference. Oh, wow. Right? Yeah. So she's like 18 years old or like 17, and she's watching Capricorn One with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right. And my dad comes on at the end of the movie, and it's a really crazy movie. I'm not going to give away the ending for anyone who hasn't seen it, but my dad is kind of the hero. He saves the day.
Yeah.
And everybody in the movie theater jumps up and starts giving my dad a standing ovation and clapping. The irony, like, my mom didn't know that, you know, in 3 years she was going to meet my father and that was going to be her husband. She's looking at this dirty pilot, you know, just disheveled, gross, just, you know. But
how'd they meet then?
Oh, man, I don't even know if we have time for that story, but very long story short, my mom was a travel agent in Minnesota, and she was a pretty terrible travel agent. She booked her family on this amazing trip to Disney World or Disneyland in Los Angeles. And 2 days into the visit, they were having such a great time. She was their mom, my great aunt. They're having such a good time. And then they're like, Miss Hovland, that was her maiden name. Why haven't you checked out yet? She's like, what? They're like, yeah, you're only supposed to stay for the weekend. You're not staying. They were supposed to stay for a week. She only booked it for a weekend.
Oh, no.
She's a really bad travel agent. And it was like, and it was during August. It was packed and there were no hotels around Disneyland. So it was completely packed. So her friend gets on the phone, her other travel agent friend. She's like, okay, the only other hotel in LA that's like kind of fun is Universal Studios. And that was where my father lived. And so they're like, fine. So they're all packing their bags. Everyone's pissed. They wanted to go to Disneyland. So they go to Universal Studios, just like an hour away. They have to take two taxis. And they get in. They turn on the TV. It's August 1677. Elvis just died.
Oh, yeah.
So my grandma's bawling, like losing it. I never saw him in Vegas. Everybody's miserable. So like, just get our stuff together and go downstairs and have dinner. Well, they go downstairs and there's my dad with his brother and this whole harem of his, you know, gambling gentlemen that are just sitting there smoking cigars. My mom walks in and I guess he's just thunderstruck with affection and just chases after him. Of course, my mother has no idea who he is because she didn't really watch TV and she's young. I mean, my mom was only 20 when they met. And so, and of course he lied and said that he was like 40. I think he was like 55, but they were together ever since she moved to Los Angeles. Like, It was wow. Really one of those.
That is, like,
I know it's
magical.
It's ruined me for life because I'm like, how could I ever?
You need a romantic origin story.
Yes,
you do.
You can't just meet at a bar when your parents met like that.
Need some Come story. On, Ariana Savalas is here. She's performing at the Arcata Theater. We'll give you all the information in just a little bit. And you're going to do a song for us in a while.
If you force me,
we
to,
want
absolutely.
It. We were hoping for it. Stick around a lot more ahead. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Ariana Savalas is here. You were talking about Capricorn One. I just got to throw in that The Dirty Dozen was one of the best movies.
Oh, isn't that a great movie?
Ever.
I love. Thank you. Thank you. That really is a great movie. I mean, it's always really fun to see your dad play a psycho.
Isn't it?
Sexual deviant. You know? Delightful.
He used to do these ads for something called The Players Club.
Yes,
did you ever see these?
And did you ever see the spoofs that SNL did?
No.
Oh, did my they? God. Everybody who's listening, you have to go on YouTube and you have to find Jim Carrey and Phil Hartman. Did a spoof with my dad. They did the Playa With Yourselves Club.
Oh, I remember that.
I'm dying.
The tagline on the ads, he'd always go, Reno, Vegas, Lake Tahoe, and now Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And we'd go, well, if we want to be cool like Telly, we got to be in the Players Club. So my dad signed up for a year, and then when we went to Las Vegas, he would flash the card, and here's what they'd say everywhere he'd flash the card. So?
Like, yeah, exactly.
What does that get you? We don't care.
I mean, you should have had the Players Club. That was the spoof, is that they had like a big bat, and when people wouldn't let you in, you just beat them up.
That's on SNL?
That's so funny.
I gotta find it.
No, you have to find it. It's so funny.
I gotta find it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Every story of my dad always starts either, you know, your dad and I golfed one time, or, you know, when I was at the casino in Vegas, I'm like, yes.
That's what he did.
God bless him.
All right, what's the song we're going to hear? Tell us what the song is.
I didn't decide until 30 seconds ago, but, you know, we were talking about Sinatra. Why don't I do a little Sinatra for
Love
you,
it.
Pals.
Cool.
Yeah?
Love it. Here's Ariana Savalas.
If it sounds bad, it's a jazz chord.
All right.
Can you hear this? I forgot to clip my nails. Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. Oh yeah. In other words, My baby, kiss me. Ooh, fill my heart with song. Let me sing forevermore. Because you, you all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, my baby, please be true. Ooh, in other words, I love you. Baby, please be true. In other words, I love you.
I'm covered in goosebumps, and I might cry.
The singing we knew we'd get, but the whistling is a nice bonus.
I mean, you gotta shock them a little.
Ariana, no one has ever whistled that spectacularly ever.
There was a string of taxi cabs behind you lined up because they thought you needed their service. That's how good that was.
I mean, there's just dogs lining up outside waiting for my autograph.
Oh, is that good?
Oh,
that's
thanks,
so good.
Guys.
It's
oh,
so effortless.
You
just pick up your ukulele and you smile and it just comes out. There was no effort. It just,
none.
It's magical.
Whatsoever.
Oh my God.
I try to do everything I can with the least amount of effort possible. So,
can we talk about your involvement with Postmodern Jukebox? Because
I
love these guys.
I love these guys too.
Haley Reinhart was on with us about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, great. My sister, man. She's the best.
So they take lead singers like yourself or like her, and they just kind of, it's interchangeable, but everybody who they use just sounds magnificent.
Oh, thank you. Well, Scott, I mean, obviously has exquisite taste. No, it's amazing. Scott really has this uncanny ability to not only find incredible vocalists, because there's a lot of incredible vocalists, but honestly, I'm not just saying this because she's one of my best friends. Haley Reinhart quite easily has one of the greatest voices I think I've ever heard in my life. I mean, ever.
I put you up there
she's
too, and completely different voices, though.
Oh,
completely.
God, yes. I'm the low baritone of the group. And
it
you
works.
Know, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to be the tuba. Well,
but they
it's a thankless
that music
job.
From the 40s, they, that style.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's today's music, but done in a 40s kind of a
yeah,
vein.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, is it good.
Thank you. You know, and I really give Scott a lot of credit, you know, because again, like I said, there's a lot of great singers, but he chooses people for these tours that, you know, they are such amazing people to work with, you know, because there's no divas. There's it's just such a family unit.
Good.
You can feel that on stage. I really feel like that, you know, because this could have easily been a fad. You know, it could have easily been an online trend that kind of blew up and then kind of fizzled out. And it hasn't. You know, God, we just played the Greek Theater in L.A. You know, we played Radio City Music Hall before that. And it's like, you know, this isn't just a fad, and I think that's just a testament to not only how much people love this kind of music, but also just the sort of family element that Scott's been able to create with it.
Right.
You know, and people really get to know us, and it's a really magical experience. It's great for me because I grew up in, you know, the cabaret, which is a very, very small fishbowl, right? The vaudeville cabaret community is very small. And, you know, then seeing Postmodern Jukebox and seeing the kind of success that they were able to have, you know, and being on that bandwagon very early on in their success. And, you know, nobody knew how it was going to blow up. And it was such an amazing thing to see, because I really always thought that, you know, we were on the fringe of this, you know, music society. And to be able to see this be such an underground movement, you know, always made by fans. That's what's so crazy about it, too. We, you know, they weren't signed to a label until this year. You know, and even now I think we're only, you know, signed as a distribution deal. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, this didn't start with a record label. It didn't start with a big business. I mean, it started at Scott's basement. I mean, literally in Astoria, New York, in his one-bedroom apartment, you know, doing videos out of his kitchen. Yeah. I mean, and so the American dream, you know, it's alive and well.
It's like we all want to go back to a simpler time. I think that's comforting to us, and that might have something to do with it.
I voted for Woodrow Wilson in November.
I mean, you and I both.
Yeah.
I voted for Cher.
I have been looking for an excuse to go to Ron Onesti's Club Arcata, and this just might be it. Ariana Savalas, you will be performing your show through Saturday at Club
Arcata. That's right. That's right.
Right
it
above
is the
Arcata
coolest
Theater.
Club you've ever seen. Listen, I've played some really cool clubs
and
all around the world.
Top.
No, this is the top.
Yeah, I love
this
it.
Is
good,
the coolest good, club good. I've ever seen. So you got to come down.
We've got to take this call. Greg, you have been on hold since Ariana walked in here. We have 30 seconds. Go.
Really easy. I've been following Ariana for a while, and there are performers who can sing. There are performers who can dance. There are funny performers. There are musicians that perform. And there are people who can whistle. And there are beautiful people. Ariana is all of those, and anybody who doesn't see her is really missing the boat in terms of entertainment.
Oh, what a sweetheart. Thank you, Greg.
You're very welcome.
And, I'm going to hire you as my publicist.
I'm going to be coming home late tonight, Ariana, so if you would
leave you are
on the counter for dinner.
Oh, sweetie, you know how to talk to me dirty.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Go to clubarcata.com to get tickets. Ariana Savalas is there through Saturday, Club Arcata, or your website. Why don't you give that out?
Just my name, arianasavalas.com. You can find me on all those annoying social media sites.
No, I'm with you.
Great to meet you, Ariana.
So nice to meet you guys. Oh, absolutely. Can't get rid of me.
Pleasure. Excellent.
Thanks, guys.
A quick break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Who is he?
Dean, 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 Dean.
One more time.
Dean, Dean, Dean.
Three more times. Four more times.
Dean.
He is Dean.
Weeks, you should play the full 17-minute album version of that.
We do that for Sweeps Week, Dean. We do that every year on Sweeps Week. Okay. People love it.
All right. It's a special treat. I understand.
Dean, you know what's funny is, and I'm sure you saw the Emmy Awards on Sunday night, didn't do very well in the ratings, but I don't know if you've been watching Stephen Colbert, but he is so happy. It was the second lowest rated Emmy broadcast of all time by 0.1 of a point, but he's been playing that up like crazy, just that he's so proud of the fact that it wasn't the worst rated and
right.
missed it by 0.1 of a point.
Right. The ratings were just marginally down. I mean, you know, some people are, you know, they're trying to make it look like it was a ratings disaster. You know, ratings for award shows, all award shows, have been down. And this past Sunday night was a very competitive night on TV. There was a lot that was going on. So I'm not making excuses for him. But people are. I just don't think people are interested in award shows the way that they used to be.
I'm not.
And too bad, because I think they missed a pretty funny show.
But you can get all the highlights. I got the monologue the next day. I got the winners. Yeah. So, I mean, really, I'm one of those people who's
kind of bailed. It's a changing world in which we live.
That's right, sir.
Are you following, Dean? And it's not fair. I don't want to blindside you with this if you're not up on it. But Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh, boy, ask me about some Afghanistan
foreign
film.
Do you know this? Do you know about the actress Melissa?
Hear about the film Umbaji Dumbumbu?
I would never do that
to
you.
Do you know that film? It's a comedy.
sounds like a comedy.
What's it called again, Dean?
Umbaji Bumbumbu.
Umbaji Bumbumbu.
Yeah.
And then
that's my middle name.
Is that a
Dominique Pongo's
middle name?
It's a relative. Isn't that a relative?
How'd you know, dude?
And it's a remake of the original Umbaji Mujadu, right? Is that from the...
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, with Adam Sandler this time.
So do you know who Melissa Joan Hart is, the actress?
Sure, of course.
All right. So evidently, she tweeted out how upset she is about the hurricane. Not because of the devastation to the area, but because she was going to be vacationing there soon. This is going to mess up her vacation.
Right. you can understand how somebody would be upset about that.
The tweet says hundreds. You would have guessed it been deleted because people called her out on how insensitive it was, saying, hey, Hollywood girl, realize for a moment that everything is not about you.
What was she thinking?
I don't know.
Hey, she's been planning a long time for this big Punta Cana vacation.
Yes.
That she was getting ready to go on. And, you know, sure, hundreds of thousands of, you know, people are, you know, their lives have been devastated. But what about her tan?
Right.
You know,
she must take that into
getting
account.
Getting ready to work on a tan. She was going to ski jet. Is that what they call it?
Ski jet.
Ski jet. Jet ski. Jet ski.
Yeah.
She was going to jet ski. Now her whole plans are ruined.
No, it ruins everything for her.
It's terrible.
For people who don't know, she, Melissa Joan Hart, was the star of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And, her vacation has been
I'm the adult version of that.
Don't forget the no, the adult version was Melissa and Joey, remember, that came out after, that was with Joey Lawrence.
Wait, why don't I remember that?
Because we had a life.
Wait a minute.
I don't remember that at all.
We stumped Bill on some pop trivia notion?
So this was, it was Joey Lawrence and Melissa, and then who did they, were they a couple in love, crazy in love?
I think so. I don't really remember. I may have watched one or two of them, but yeah, it was on the air for 5 years.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
It was on for quite a while, Melissa and Joey.
Sorry I missed that. Very sorry I missed that.
Was he the one that always said, did I do that?
No, that was Urkel. Although, if you throw Urkel into any show, you got a better show, don't you?
Urkel has a small role in the Afghanistan film, whose title I've already forgotten.
Yeah, I can't remember it either.
Yeah,
oh,
don't
man.
Even, don't even
it's
try.
Hard. It's too hard. Yeah. All right, there's
that's
so
crazy.
Many...
That's these, you know, here's the self-centered showbiz people. It's not just showbiz people. There are plenty of self-centered people, but
I'm sure there are other people.
Example. Here's what I choose to focus on instead.
Yes.
People like Salma Hayek, who have stepped up and donated $100,000 to UNICEF to help people in Mexico City who are devastated by the earthquake there. And you look at any of these catastrophes that have taken place, and it's, you know, the people criticize the showbiz people, and why don't they keep their opinions to themselves, and why don't they just entertain us, and we don't want to hear anything else. They're the first ones to step up and donate $1 million for hurricane relief repeatedly over and over and over again. So that's the vast majority of the showbiz people, not P-heads like Melissa Joan Hart.
Dean, I'm trying to remember who it was. I want to say Ben Stiller, but I could be wrong, where there was some tragedy that happened a few years ago, and he or somebody like him donated a bunch of money and just didn't tell anybody. Just said, you know, it's one thing to donate money and have my name on it so people go, what a nice guy, but I like to do these things privately.
Then how do we find out about it?
Well, but
how do you
that
know
was
about
their
it,
point.
Mr. Busybody?
Because I do his taxes.
Mr.
He's in trouble.
Yeah,
he'll be rooming with Willie Nelson.
I didn't know you did
that. Oh,
on the
side, I do a lot of
my stuff to you.
Yeah, bring
year.
It to the house. I'll get it done for you. Dean Richards is here.
Bill does his taxes.
Yeah, I've been doing them for years.
I didn't know that.
Dean Richards is here. He'll tell you what movies are coming out this weekend. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're talking to Dean Richards about movies, and it would help if I turned his button on.
A little bit.
I love when you turn my button on.
Dean, this is on the air. Oh, hey, Kingsman has a sequel. There's a sequel to The Kingsman.
It's called, did you like the first Kingsman?
Very much.
I did too. Spy spoof doesn't seem like it does justice to what this movie is, but it is sort of. It's kind of a James Bond movie on steroids,
yeah,
that like goes way over the top. And the last one came out a couple of years ago. The new one is called The Kingsman Golden Circle. There's a new bad person in it, in the form of Julianne Moore, who is a drug kingpin and has infected the drugs that she sells with a deadly virus. And unless she gets what she wants, all the people who use her drugs, which turns out is most everybody in the world, will die.
Oh, that seems unethical.
That doesn't seem right. No. Usually drug dealers are way more ethical
way more.
Than that.
Yeah.
So, it's Kingsman to the rescue, the Kingsman being this British Secret Service force, but they are attacked and nearly completely destroyed. So they go into emergency mode, which means bringing in the American counterparts to Kingsman, which brings in a whole new line of cast members. And this Colin Firth is back in the movie, even though he got killed in the last movie. They explain how he is back in this again. Taggart Egerton is kind of the lead in this. Mark Strong, these British actors, but throw in a Jeff Bridges, a Channing Tatum. I mentioned Julianne Moore is in this movie.
Halle Berry
is in this movie. There are lots and lots and lots of cameos in the movie. Maybe way more than this movie needs. It kind of waters it down a little bit, but it's still got that fun, playful, edgy, over the top kind of feel. I like Kingsman very much. Gave it a Dean's List B.
Good. Love to hear that. And is Jeff Bridges one of the coolest guys on the planet?
I love him.
He was on one of the talk shows last night. He was so good.
Yeah, he in real life he most certainly is, and he's so good in this movie. Very cool, laid back. He runs a whiskey company.
Yeah,
and is just about as cool a guy as they come on screen in this movie.
And his name is Champ Payne, right?
All of the characters in the American version of Kingsman have beverage names.
Love it.
Halle Berry is Ginger Ale.
Beautiful.
Channing Tatum, somebody's Champagne.
Yeah.
Somebody is Champagne.
Jeff Bridges is Champagne.
Oh, he's Champagne.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum is Tequila.
Tequila? What?
How do they break it up?
I don't know.
He was kidding.
No, he really.
Oh, really?
That's really his character name. Yeah. I don't know how they break it up, though.
I'm in.
I'll have to look
it up. I want to be Mimosa.
Mimosa.
That's the vibe of this movie, though.
Dean, can I be Al Kaseltzer?
You'll have to be, like, the cleanup guy.
Yeah, I'd be the last guy in. All right, what about Battle of the Sexes? What's that?
That looks great.
Battle of the Sexes brings back the event that took place 44 years ago yesterday, as a matter of fact. The battle between 29-year-old Billie Jean King, who was basically the women's champion of tennis at that time, who was challenged by 55-year-old former tennis champ Bobby Riggs. And, you know, that tennis match turned into maybe one of the first television circuses that, you know, we've now seen played out over and over and over and over again. But it became a battle of the genders, really, with Bobby Riggs calling himself the male chauvinist pig, and that, you know, women couldn't possibly compete with men in tennis. And, you know, they're only good for two things, in the bedroom and in the kitchen. But he said he's willing to, these are actual words of Bobby Riggs through the years, that he's willing to let women on the tennis court because somebody's got to pick up the balls.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, these were actually, Emma Stone, who won the Oscar last year for La La Land, is so good in this movie as Billie Jean King. Not only physically with all the tennis things that she has to do, but the inner demons that she's fighting at the same time with her own personal relationships, her sexual orientation, everything that she's got going on. She's great, but Steve Carell is amazing as Bobby Riggs. Sarah Silverman's great in the movie. That's got a really great cast. But they also intersperse actual footage from 1973 of the newscasts of the day, interviews that were being done, and of the actual match itself. Howard Cosell.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell saying things like, if Billie Jean King would just let her hair grow and take off those glasses, she'd be a much more attractive girl.
Wow.
Unbelievably sexist things that passed for normal back then, I guess.
Yeah.
But very entertaining, really great performances. Apparently, I said the other day who won this match, and I got a really nasty email. Oh. So even though I expect that most people know who did, I won't.
Yvonne Lendl.
I won't spoil it for
you. Came out of nowhere.
I guess that's true. Like, we all know because we were there when it happened, and it was a big story. You could look on the internet and find out, but for younger kids,
right,
they have no idea about this.
I guess.
What was your Dean's List on Battle of the Sexes?
Just a note for that person. Don't go see Lincoln or Titanic. by the way, either. Dean's List, B+ on this one.
Oh, excellent. Good. Yeah, and then one more real quick, Dean, if we could.
The one that I like best this weekend is Stronger. Jake Gyllenhaal plays real-life Boston Marathon bombing survivor Jeff Bauman, sort of this knucklehead, kind of irresponsible guy. He was trying to keep his girlfriend. His girlfriend keeps breaking up with him, so he's trying to show her how much he cares for her. So he shows up. She's running the Boston Marathon 3 years ago. Shows up at the finish line with a big sign, congratulations, when the bomb goes off. He winds up losing both of his legs. And this movie is about the emotional and physical battle that Jeff Bauman goes through trying to readjust to this new life. It's a tear-jerking story. It's a heartbreaking story. Jake Gyllenhaal is so good in this movie. I expect him to be nominated for an Oscar. Dean's List, B+ for this one as well.
Three good movies, Dean.
Yeah, and there's Ben Stiller's got a new movie that's okay. Brad Status, I gave that Dean's List C in this Lego movie. It's a Lego movie.
Yeah. I hope Ben Stiller's movie does well, Dean, because I do his taxes.
Right.
Well, you'll know then.
Yeah. You'll know.
I'll know before anybody knows.
Yeah, you'll know exactly and see if he took any questionable deductions.
Right. That's what I'm always in the search for. Dean, thanks so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That's Dean Richards. Let's take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.